This morning, we continue an occasional series brought to us by students and storytellers in the Northern Panhandle. Ohio County Public School kids there teamed up with an outfit of urban farmers with the nonprofit Grow Ohio Valley. Jen Jensen brought local sheep farmers in to speak with students. Together, they brought us this story.
So that's what wool feels like when it's still in the animal. I would have brought you a sheep, but...
We're here with Drew Manko, sixth-generation farm manager for the Ross Farm.
Maybe you guys can come up the farm.
They're specialty rare-breed sheep produced in wool and lamb.
Can we? Me, please?
Please? Before I have to go?
Drew's mother, Amy Ross Manko, says the family immigrated across an ocean some 300 years ago.
Okay, so we came to America late 1600s, early 1700s, depending on which branch of the family you're talking about, from Scotland and Wales, and settled in New Jersey, and then came over the mountains eventually and got to southwestern Pennsylvania about 1730. Of course, it's still Virginia at that point. And our five times great-grandfather's house was used as the county courthouse in our area.
Amy says the farm is all home to 11 breeds of heritage sheep, which are breeds that come from and have adapted to specific challenging geographic regions.
While steeped in personal and historic farming traditions, Amy explains modern farm managers like her son Drew are part of a movement of innovative farm techniques that both lean into the future and hearken to past practices.
So when I call my son innovative, it's because he's not sitting back saying, well, we just got to ship him to the auction because that's what Pap did. No, he's going out and seeking clients. He's processing himself. He's got a USDA processing number. He's providing the community with healthy, humanely raised, sustainable food.
Cool. But what kids really want to know?
What's the scariest thing to happen on the farm, and what was going through your mind?
I was chased down by a steer one time, and I jumped a gate just in time for him not to get me with his horns. We were loading him up to go to the processor, and he decided that maybe he didn't want to go.
Whoa. Sounds like a potential gore fest. Speaking of gore, Drew shared what turns out to be an amazing story about how his grandmother saved their livestock from a dog attack.
66 ewes were ripped up by not even wild dogs, somebody's dogs that lived near the farm. So my grandmother, who was a professor of nursing at WVU, stitched every single ewe back together. We didn't lose a single ewe, and they all lambed shortly following that.
Drew went on to explain some of his sheep are butchered and their meat sold. Others are bred for their wool. He's also talked about what happens to the wool after sheep are sheared.
We send it out to a family-owned mill in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and they spin it into either yarn or roving and send it back to us. And then mom goes to 10 or 12 fiber festivals a year and sells them, as well as we have a shop on Main Street in Washington that we sell yarn from.
Drew's mom, Amy, is what's called a fiber artist. She travels all over these days with her wool.
I started the yarn company in 2012. And then people asked me questions, and I figured out I better learn how to spin and knit because I didn't know the answers.
The Ross Farm tend to more than sheep. Drew also spent time showing students a few photographs of the retired Disney horses they now own.
And that's John when he worked at Disney World.
Are you serious?
Yeah, these two worked at Disney too.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm. That's they work for the mouse.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that's Gates again. He worked for Disney.
So all your animals are nice.
I try to. Yeah, they're friendly. If that's what you mean.
Your animals are famous.
What'd they do for the mouse?
They pulled carriages.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
you pick
yeah. for carriage rides. John actually pulled the trolley on Main Street. If you ever been to the Magic Kingdom.
That's awesome. I've never been there, but that's so cool.
Yeah.
Right
there. Yeah.
What advice do you have for the young farmers who might just be starting out?
The main thing is don't give up. My generation has watched the turmoil that we've had in the 90s, early 2000s, where the prices are down, the inputs are up. They've watched their fathers and their grandfathers and their mothers and their grandmothers struggle and work a job or a second job as well as on the farm. And that's not something they want to do because they don't want to live like that. They don't want to struggle like they've watched their ancestors struggle. So the second they can get that, and it's that kind of, this is a small town, there's never going to be anything for me here mentality. So the second they're out of high school, they're gone. They're at a college. They're in a pipeline. They're doing something else. So don't give up. There's a lot of opportunities that the old timers either didn't see or didn't understand. Like niche marketing, direct to consumer, stuff like that.
Drew also left students with some heavy thoughts about farming to ponder.
He says his least favorite part, the hardest part about being a farmer, is the risk he has to take.
Any morning I could wake up and the place could be on fire and we would lose it all.
Despite hearing about scary encounters with bulls and dire warnings about risks associated with farming, students came away with respect and longing to visit the Ross Farm. Many aren't far removed from a time when farming was a normal, critical way of life in their families. And many experts in the field say returning to small farm models, which are still prevalent in this region, is the future. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jen Jensen in Wheeling.
From West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ramon Gibbons in Wheeling.